evening, and welcome to another night of Encounter. I believe this is week four. We are now officially, after tonight, halfway through. Is that not crazy? Halfway through this process. How many of you would say tonight I'm coming in here and I've had a super amazing week, like the best week I've ever had? Raise your hand. Oh, for real. What made it so great? Did you like walk in alignment or something like that? Was it much easier? What was it? Okay, so some good family stuff to celebrate, right? How many of you are coming in here and you would say, I had the worst week ever? Only two? Why are you raising your hand? Why is he raising his hand? It's Justin. Okay. How many of you in here, you'd say, I'm here, I'm a little tired, had some stuff going on this week, but I'm just glad I made it. The rest of you? Okay. I think I'd fall into that middle category right there. But what I want us to do for just a moment, before we get started, is to do our very best to, I looked over here thinking maybe my trusty whiteboard was here, but it's not. I feel a little weird without it. But in the same way, when you walk into a classroom, do you remember the days when you would walk in the classroom, we had chalkboards? How many remember chalkboards, right? And I always loved it when the teacher would come. Of course, this is my personality type. And she'd come and she'd get an eraser and she'd just clean off that entire thing. Oh, I just loved the look of that nice, clean chalkboard. And then she'd get out that nice, new, clean piece of chalk and just go at it. I just love that. And I just felt like tonight, before we get started, that we needed to just practice doing that for just a moment in our own minds, in our own hearts, to get ready to be able to receive what God wants to write on the chalkboard tonight of our hearts. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come in, even into an incredible environment like this, when I've had a tough week, or I left and as I'm leaving, my kids are having a fight and I'm having to give them consequences for when I get home, right? Amen? Any parents understand that moment? When all the spirituality is tested in that moment, to come in here and to receive can sometimes be a challenge, no matter how excited I am to be here. And so I just want us to do that for a moment. Can you just bow your heads and just close your eyes as we get started tonight? You know, the Lord doesn't want you to miss out on one thing. Do you know that God has something fresh and new he wants to reveal to you tonight about himself? Do you know that? So it doesn't matter if you had the greatest week of your life. It doesn't matter if you had the most challenging week of your life. It doesn't matter if you came in here barely with your knuckles scraping on the ground. God is already here. And he has something he wants to say to every man and woman in this room tonight. I know it. So, Father, right now, Lord, you know, because you've been with us, you know the week we've had. You know the moments that have been really restful. You know the moments that were very rich with you and with our families. Father, you also know the times that we were very stretched, like stretched really, really thin. Lord, you even know the moments like the rubber band broke. It was stretched so far that it broke. And Father, some of us in here are coming tonight, and we just almost feel kind of guilty and bad because we didn't really stay in alignment like we so thought we would this past week. And Lord, that's when I'm reminded about how widespread and huge your grace is. So Lord, would you just come right now and just wash our minds clean? Would you wash our slate clean right now, Lord? Just let him do that right now in your mind. Just give him the stress of what's not decided yet. Would you give him the projects that are frustrating you that are not finished or thought through? Would you give him that family member that really challenged you this week? Because, Lord, we don't want anything to hinder our ability to hear your voice tonight. Father, we give you, Father, this evening. We pray right now, just if you don't mind, just symbolically, just put your hand on your ears, Lord. We ask that you would give us ears that can hear your voice tonight. Yes, just pray that right now. Jesus said that there were some that had ears but could not hear. God, may that not be one person in here tonight in Jesus' name. Give us ears to hear your voice. God, now we pray over our eyes. Would our eyes be able to see you for who you are? And would our minds now be able to understand what you're saying to us tonight. Now we all put our hands over our hearts. God, I pray that our hearts would have really good soil in them tonight. For those that are coming in and the ground's a little solid and tough, Holy Spirit, right now, just break that up. Lord, for those of us tonight that are coming in and we're feeling kind of dry, Lord, would you just water our soil tonight? But Lord, may our hearts have good soil for the planting of the seeds of your word. And finally, God, may you give us the courage tonight to walk out what you're going to teach us. Father, we give you tonight, right? We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our body, our soul, and our spirit. Get us in alignment tonight as we prepare to hear from you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, as we get started tonight, I just want to remind you guys, do you guys know how much we love you? Do you guys know how much we look forward to this moment every single week? I just want you to know that if you're going through something right now and you really feel like tonight you need someone to pray with you, would you just understand and know that, yeah, we're going through this process, but if you need one of us to pray with you tonight before you leave, please don't leave here tonight without getting prayed for, okay? Well, let's just refresh our memories with a couple of things tonight as Jason prepares to get ready to come up here and share something with you. Let's remember, who can remember the definition of spiritual alignment? That's okay. I wrote this and I don't remember it by word for word verbatim. Okay. Let me read it to you. It is the process. Everyone say process. Process. Is a process immediate? No. It takes time. How many of you would say, I can tell the process is starting to work? Can you tell the process is starting to work? Fantastic. But spiritual alignment is this process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ, right? Learning to walk and live like Jesus. And we focused the past 2 weeks on walking in the Spirit and walking in alignment. I hope that's working for you. All right? If you're having any challenges, you have a table host right there that's going to help answer any questions you're having, any challenges you're facing. That's what they're there for, and they would love to help in any way. But tonight, we're going to prepare for a couple of people that have some testimonies they want to share. This is one of my favorite parts of every single night at Encounter, when I get to hear what God has done through Encounter in the lives of our previous students. So I want you guys to put your hands together for Jason Claiborne as he comes tonight to share his testimony.
Who they met? Hey, they messed up giving me this microphone, y'all. I'm just letting y'all know. And so they wanted me to kind of share, you know, what it was for me when I went through Encounter. And so I went through it just like you guys are last semester. And I was that guy that was like, man, like, why am I here? You know, I don't need to be here. And like, you know, I'm good. Like, everything's great in my life, you know. Where my wife at? Yeah, she's probably like, and so, but anyway, so we started going through the process. And if you haven't heard Sonia say it, she'll say it a bunch. Submit to the process. Submit to the process. Submit to the process. Because that's really the key to Encounter, y'all. It's submitting to the process. If I had to say one thing that I learned in this class and taking this and going through the entire process, including the retreat, it was spiritual awareness. And, you know, because I was going through life, you know, I just came to church, I was doing the thing, right? You know, if you saw me on Sundays, you know, it looked like I had it all together. I was up there worshiping, doing my thing. But behind the scenes, things really weren't all that great. You know, you know, it was tough. And going through this process, like Sonia said, it's almost like an onion, you know, and you start letting things go, and you start putting things down. But spiritual awareness was huge for me because, like, I know I would sin during the week, right? You know, I'd do things that weren't pleasing to God. Like, you know, I would be that guy that was, you know, saying stuff I shouldn't say to my wife when she made me mad, right? When really it was my fault. You know, I just, you know, us men are, we don't like to admit fault, you know, because we're always right, you know. And so I really started getting conviction by going through this process and looking at a lot of the strongholds and looking at things that I had in my life, you know, because, you know, I struggled a lot in my marriage, you know, and I've been pretty open about it with some of you guys, and because it was definitely a process. It wasn't something easy, you know. Me and my wife, we'd split up three times, you know, on the verge of divorce on a couple of those deals. And I attribute this class and the process, because I was at the breaking point. I was like, man, I'm done. You know, we're going through the class, and the devil was just constantly attacking me. And like she said earlier, you know, how many of y'all having a good week, you know, and just a few people raised their hands, you know, oh, you know, it's all going great. But really it wasn't. You know, I was the guy, I raised my hand, oh yeah, it's going great. You know, the week's going amazing, you know. But really, I get home Monday, come home from work or whatever, you know, and she wouldn't have my plate made, you know, my dinner wasn't ready for me on the table, so I was all, you know, I was all mad, right? And, you know, I'm justified in getting aggravated because she didn't make my plate for me, you know. So, look at the men, look at the men, look at the women. Y'all see what just happened in here? Look at all the spouses, all the wives look at their husbands. Yeah, that's you. That's you. He's preaching to you, honey. He's preaching to you right now, okay? And so, anyway, I told you all they messed up giving me the mic. But coming up to the retreat, okay, just talking about spiritual awareness, it really opened my eyes just to have conviction. So when I started doing some things that I knew weren't pleasing, I started having conviction because now I really understood, right? When I would do something, it was clicking. It was registering up here. And this was the biggest struggle for me. And, you know, it just, as a man, really, you know, struggling with the battle of the mind. And that's something that we're going to dive deeper into as the process goes on. But I like to tell the story. I told it, you know, when I went through the retreat, you know, it was the day before the retreat. We had to meet up with the Hensons, right? It was around, meet them in Lufkin at 11. I live in Corrigan. And so I stayed up late the night before, you know, I really wasn't feeling the whole retreat thing. And I was like, I'll stay home and watch the kids. You can go, honey, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, you're going to go. I was like, okay. Fine, I'll go if you want me to, you know. And so, and just talking about how the devil attacks you, and I guarantee you, as you've gone through this process, you're going to find that some of the toughest seasons you're going to go through is when you're trying to, you know, really strengthen your walk with Christ. You know, because the devil is just going to, you know, what's the devil's main job? Exactly, that's it, right? And so that night before the retreat, you know, I stayed up late, you know, I didn't really want to go. She's like, you got to go, okay. So the morning, I wake up in the morning, and we had to leave at 10 to meet them at 11, right? And so it's like 9 o'clock, I'm rolling out of bed, you know, and she's been nagging me since 7 to get up, you know. And so I'm looking for any excuse, right, not to come. Like, I'm looking at everything. So, like, I get up, I'm like, you got my bags packed, honey? She's like, huh? That's your job. That ain't my job. You need to pack your own bags. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Don't pack my bags. That's cool. So, you know, I ended up all the way up until like 10:30. We were late getting to the Henson's house. Like, I was bucking it the entire time. Like, I did not want to go. The enemy was just telling me, Jason, you don't need to go. You don't need to worry about going. Okay? Just, you know, you can stay home, whatever. And thank goodness that, you know, I got a godly wife that was able to really tell me, hey, no, we're going, you know, we're going to see the process through, because it changed my life. I mean, it really did. And, you know, and I hope, and I know it's a struggle for all you guys, stay to the process, submit to the process, okay, be open to the process, right? Like the last week, you know, praying with some people, I was uncomfortable praying with people out loud, right? I didn't want to really pray with people, but I was like, I don't want to, like, stumble through the prayer and be like that guy, like, oop. Like, what do I say? Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And ruin it like they're not going to get the prayer they need. I was that guy, right? And so it's great that y'all were able to kind of stretch a little bit last week. But just submit to the process, right? Keep going with the walk, all right? That's all I got.
As Danae is coming up, you know, something I've learned is that sometimes, and you really triggered my thought, and thank you for being so open and vulnerable like that and transparent. That's so refreshing, because I think a lot of us just identified, and we also now feel very normal, right? We're not weird. It's not just us that struggle, right? So I was just, that triggered a thought in my mind that I remember teaching this a long time ago, because sometimes we as Christians can accidentally confuse the work of the Holy Spirit with an attack from Satan. Because we just assume that all of the work of God just feels really great. But the Lord says in his word that he will discipline those he loves. He also says he will purify you with fire, because to get the dross and the yucky out of your life. And so can I just challenge you guys, as you're going through this process, yes, does Satan want to steal? I agree with you 100% on that. But can you maybe do a little litmus test? You remember the litmus tests from chemistry class, the little slips of paper, right? Remember if it turned red, it was what? Huh? Come on, Zane, where are you? Acidic. If it was blue, what was it? What was it? Yes, all of that, okay? So what they said. My degree is in ministry, okay? Okay. Let me bring it back in. Okay, so the point, though, is when things are happening, I bet a lot of you this week accidentally rebuked the devil when it was the Holy Spirit trying to get you in alignment. And so submitting to the process also means taking a moment to say, is this the Lord challenging me to do things different and I'm not submitting, therefore I have this result? Or is this Satan coming against me? How do you know the difference? What is the litmus paper? Examine the fruit. Examine the fruit. All right? Good fruit from the Lord. If you don't know what that is, look up Galatians 5:22. Bad fruit, not from the Lord. All right? Come here, Danae. You guys give her a hand. Give Danae a hand. She's so pretty. I love this girl. Go ahead and share with us tonight.
Okay. If I pass out, just drag me over and continue the class. So, anyway, I've been at this church since I was 11 years old. I met my husband back there.
Go.
Yeah. And, you know, I love this church. But, you know, once you get going in life, it gets busy. You buy a house. You have your babies. And sometimes the spiritual side of you gets pushed to the back, and you don't feed it anymore. And I just started feeling dry. I was brittle. You know, the seeds were getting thrown out. I was hearing, coming to church, but my ground wasn't fertile anymore. And so the morning before Encounter started, I was listening to all the testimonies from the original group that came. And at one point, Sonia said, I was hitting a ceiling, and I couldn't get past it. And whenever I heard that, I was like, I need to go to that class. That's for me. I need that. And I told Zane, I was like, I'm coming. You're coming with me, so just get ready. It's 7. And, you know, we came through the classes, and it had exactly what I needed every single night. I was hearing the words that were refilling me. I was springing leaks during the week, but I was still getting filled so much, it was okay. I could make it through. And when it got to the retreat, I always stand kind of in the shadows, in the background. I'm not used to being forefront at all. Maybe with 2, 3, and 4-year-olds, but adults are much different than Sprockets. A lot more organized. Sprockets is like herding cats. But anyway, I went to the retreat and I was like, God, what are my next steps? Where do I need to go? I don't know what to do next, you know. I'm here, just tell me. And he told me, you know, in that still small voice, you have to listen to him. You have to be prepared to listen to him. That's what this class is about. We're preparing you to hear from God, to have your one-on-one encounter with him. And he told me, Danae, look at who I used in the Bible. Look at Moses and Jacob and David. They were not perfect. And you need to come out from the shadows and stand forefront because you have a story to share. And if not for that, I wouldn't be standing here today. And I thank him that he's given me the boldness and the strength to share God's love. Because we won't see Jesus till he returns. And that's our job. We're to be Jesus for this hurting and broken world. And we want to prepare you for that, to share with the broken. And just thank you for being here. I'm so proud of everybody.
You know, our staff, Pastor Jeremy, you know, and our staff, we all just got back from Encounter yesterday. And we went to the Encounter through the district, our district office, and our staff was just blown away by what God has done in their own hearts and their own lives. So it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God, this process works. It just works. It's because it's really, you know, it's a biblical process. It's just amazing what happens when you follow what the Lord makes very clear in His Word for you to do. When you do it, there's such great fruit as a result. Well, tonight we're going to get into a teaching on fasting. I really want you guys to pay very close attention to tonight's teaching. As Courtney's going to say here in just a moment, really this teaching and the placement of it is very strategic. It's on purpose because we know what you're about to go into here in Encounter. We know the next section and we know what God needs to do in your heart and your life. And we also know where you need to be in preparation for that. So tonight's super important. So I want you guys just to tune in, keep those hearts open wide to what God has to say to you tonight. I want to introduce our speaker, Courtney Mendoza. She is Pastor Jeremy and I's assistant. We do share her. God help her. You know, you've got to have someone amazing who can put up with Jeremy and Santalia Vanderlees at the same time. For real. But she's our assistant, but more importantly, she's a graduate from SAGU, has her degree in theology. She's a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. She's a powerhouse preacher. Her husband is wonderful. He's on our staff as our financial assistant. Nothing more authentic, no one more sincere and godly. The real deal here, Courtney Mendoza. You guys give her a big hand.
I love you. Love you. Thank you, Pastor Talia. How are you guys doing tonight? Good. I love Encounter. I'm so excited to see each and every one of you on this journey. It's so exciting, all the things and that God is going to do that He's beginning in this process. And so as we jump into, this is week 4. This is the end of section 1 of Encounter. And so real quick, let's just recap. We've done a little bit, but what did we talk about week 1? Somebody shout it out at me. Week 1 was about what? Identity, our identity in Christ. All right, what did we talk about week 2? Alignment, and week 3, walking in the Spirit. So we've got our identity, we're getting aligned with Christ, we're walking in the Spirit, and then we've got fasting. We're wrapping up this section with fasting. Somebody tell me, somebody want to take a guess, what does fasting have to do with all of these other 3 topics? Anybody want to jump out there? What does fasting have to do with these other topics? Obedience. Fasting involves obedience. What was that? Connecting to God. So fasting, maybe some of you in here, this is your first time to hear anything about fasting. Maybe you know about fasting and you don't want to have anything to do with fasting. Maybe you know about fasting and you love fasting. Wherever you are on the spectrum, we're all going to get on the same page tonight. But what we're talking about, this spiritual discipline of fasting, is crucial and vital in our lives as followers of Christ because fasting enables us to walk in the Spirit. It's fasting that helps us to stay in alignment with Jesus Christ. It's fasting that helps us to live out our identity and our purpose. How many of you, as we've gone through these previous 3 weeks, how many of you heard some things that you were like, yeah, I want that in my life? Anybody? And fasting helps us get there. Fasting helps us stay there. And so fasting is so crucial. And it's challenging sometimes. And we're gonna push you guys into something. But we know that for this process of Encounter, fasting is going to enable you to get all that God has for you out of this process. And in your life as a follower of Jesus, for as long as you are on this earth, fasting is going to help you continue to live in the victory and the freedom that we're talking about here in Encounter. So let's start with the basics. What is a fast? In its purest form, most basic definition of fasting, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specified period. So practice is abstaining, it's not eating. The discipline of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. So practice is abstaining from food, and it strengthens us spiritually. Now, how do these 2 things connect? How does not eating strengthen me spiritually? There's a key ingredient that has to be a part of this spiritual discipline of fasting that makes it effective for strengthening us spiritually, and that is, anybody want to guess? Prayer. Prayer is the key ingredient that makes fasting powerful and effective in our life. In fact, without prayer, fasting is basically just starvation. It's basically just going on a diet. But when we partner that fasting with prayer, we are able to be strengthened spiritually. We're able to experience victory. And here's why. Prayer is connecting with God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. Prayer is connecting with God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. So if I'm connecting with God and simultaneously disconnecting from the world, what's going to happen to these two relationships? What's going to happen to the relationship with the world? It's going to get less. It's going to get weaker. What's going to happen to my connection with God? It's going to get stronger. It's going to be strengthened. And so as we implement this practice in our lives of disconnecting from the world, that connection with God, that ability to hear His voice, that ability to walk in the direction of His Holy Spirit gets stronger and stronger. It helps us to get clarity when we need it. We can implement fasting in our lives when we're going through a time that we just need to hear an answer. We need to know what it is that God's saying. We can implement fasting in our lives when we're going through a process like encounter where we want to go deeper. We want to overcome the things that are keeping us from moving forward in our spiritual growth, in our walk with Christ. So that is the definition of fasting. We're going to talk really quickly about a few different kinds of fasting. So let's start with number one is a complete fast. The complete fast is going without food for a definite period. The duration can be for one or more days. You see there in your notes, there's a scripture from Judges where all of the people of Israel, all of God's people came together and they fasted for a whole day. And in the Bible, we see fasts that were 1 day, 3 days, 1 week, even 40 days. We see all different kinds of fasts in the Bible that different people did for different purposes. And these were often complete fasts where people did not eat any solid food. They may have just had water. Sometimes today, a complete fast might be just water and juices or liquids. But that's a complete fast. And then within a complete fast, there's also an absolute fast. The absolute fast is going without food or water and should be very short. Somebody tell me why. How many days can we go? The human body can go without water. 3 days. So God designed your body to need water, and so an absolute fast should be very short. Now, we do see Moses in the Bible. He did 40 days on the mountain with no food or water, and God supernaturally enabled him to do that for the specific purpose that he had called Moses to do. He gave him the strength that he needed to do that kind of a fast. And so be very careful. If any person or anything in your mind says, I think I need to do a very long fast and not have any water, be very careful of that, because God did not design our bodies to do that without his very special strength that we see in very rare occasions in the Bible. So beyond the complete fast, we also have a selective fast. The second type of fast is a selective fast, which includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. Some examples that we see in Scripture were John the Baptist during his ministry ate only locusts and honey. Sounds really like a great appetizing diet. We also see Daniel in the book of Daniel with his three friends. They did a fast and they basically only ate vegetables and water. A selective fast might be selecting a certain thing to remove from your diet for a certain period of time. So it might be, I'm going to fast sweets. I'm not going to have any sweets for a certain period of time. Anybody in here, like, identify that's, like, rough struggle? And that's, like, always the one that God calls me to do, which I'm like, okay, God, here I go again. But you might fast meat or breads or, like, a certain thing. Now, you're probably not going to say, I'm going to do a selective fast, and I'm going to fast cauliflower. Like, I'm going to remove that from my life for the next 2 months. It's going to be this really great fast. But it's identifying maybe one or some certain foods that you pull out of your diet so that you can, again, strengthen that connection with God. Selective fasting is also great for people that cannot completely remove food from their diet because of medical needs like hypoglycemia or other things. The next type of fast is a partial fast. A partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. So one example of this might be choosing to fast a certain meal each day for a certain period of time. Or, you know, maybe for 1 month, you're going to fast one day every week. So a partial fast is fasting part of my day or part of my week, and the rest of the time I'm eating normally. A partial fast can also be a rotational plan of fasting. And I want to deposit this just for a moment. We're not a rotational plan of fasting. I want to explain what that is. A rotational plan of fasting is basically a fast that someone might implement indefinitely, that they may have a practice of fasting, a lifestyle fasting in their lives. And so I've heard of a lot of Christ followers doing rotational fasting where maybe every Wednesday they fast during their lunch hour, they go and spend that time with God, or every Monday they fast completely the whole day. And they just do that as long until they feel like God says to stop doing that. Now, based on what we already know about fasting, what would be the benefit of having something like this as a regular practice in your life? Building a habit of prayer. What did I hear back there? Constantly connecting and talking to God. Yeah, what else? Spiritual discipline, exactly. And so a rotational plan of fasting, a rotational habit of fasting, can enable us to have that alignment and that ability to walk in the Spirit on a regular basis and keep that maintained in our life. Now, I'm not saying every person in this room, from here on out, you need to choose some kind of fast and start doing it forever, but I want you to understand what that is and how it can be powerful in your life if you ever feel like that might be something that God's calling you to do. The last kind of fast is a soul fast. A soul fast is based around a theme or a specific situation. And so a soul fast is something, is usually not food. It's usually pulling something else out of your life that needs to be tempered or needs to be, we need to step away from that for a period of time so that we can really focus on God. Some examples of soul fast might be fasting social media, fasting sleeping in. That's a rough one. Fasting TV or certain kinds of music, just anything that you can pull out of your life for a period of time. Why would we do something like this? Well, one example might be that fasting social media might help a person who's struggling with insecurity. And maybe God leads them to fast social media because it causes them to stop that constant comparison of myself with other people, and I'm able to hear what God is speaking to me about who he says that I am. What were you going to say? They're distractions in our life that keep us from walking forward, moving forward with God. I recently felt like God called me to do a fast of TV shows. And so for a few weeks, I watched no TV shows, not because there's anything wrong with TV shows, but I just felt like that's what God was telling me to do. And what I saw God do in my life is I just for a few weeks just stopped watching TV shows. I noticed that it enabled me to be more in tune when I came home from work every day. Because instead of going home from work, grabbing dinner, and sitting down in front of the couch to catch up on whatever I was binge-watching on Netflix at the time, I was aware of things that I needed to do in my home, things that of building a relationship with my husband. We were able to just sit together at the dinner table and talk to each other. And as I went through that time, the priority of all these TV shows that I was trying to keep up with, I saw it move down in my life. And when that fast ended, yeah, I started watching TV again, but the priority in my life was completely different. And during that time, what was amazing is just that simple not watching TV in the evenings, which was my normal habit. As I went through that time and I was seeking the Lord during that time and saying, God, I just want to get closer to you. I want this fast to do whatever it is that you're wanting to do in me. I found myself become more in tune throughout the day to what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. It literally, throughout my entire day, I was affected and I was strengthened and I was able to hear what God was speaking to me because I had pulled something out of my life that was disrupting my connection with him. And so that's just one example of a soul fast, something that I personally have experienced, and it just completely changed the way that I live my life. I watch TV, but it changed the priority level. Does that make sense? And so a soul fast is a great way to get things lined up in our lives, because there's so many things that can distract us, that can inhibit us, that we just give so much focus and attention to. And that can help us, fasting in those areas can help us get those in the right level of priority in our lives. So those are a few different kinds of fasting. Let's jump into what does fasting do for the believer? First, we need to know that Jesus modeled and taught believers a lifestyle of fasting, and he is our example. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to disconnect from the world in order to connect with his Father, how much more do we need the same thing, right? He's our example. We see in Matthew 4, 2, right before he entered his ministry, he went on a 40 day. It says, after he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. I would too. So Jesus fasted right as he was going into his ministry. In Matthew 6, he's talking to his followers about fasting and about prayer. And he says, it's right there in your notes, if you pray and if you fast. Is that what it says? What does it say? When you pray, when you fast. So is fasting optional for his followers? No. Jesus knew how crucial it was for his followers to understand and implement fasting in their lives. And so when he spoke to them about fasting and prayer, he didn't say, if you decide one day that you're going to fast, and if you decide one day that you would like to do a little bit of prayer. He says, when you pray, pray like this. When you fast, fast like this. And so he instructs them, and he shows them, and he showed his followers, and he shows us how to fast and how to pray. So what does fasting do in our lives? Number one, fasting eliminates confusion and brings clarity. Anybody need some clarity in your life sometimes? I know I do. A great example of this is what we call the Apostle Paul fast. We see it in Acts 9, verses 9 through 19. And so this is a fast for purpose. And so Saul has just been stopped on the road to Damascus. He encounters Jesus, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? And Saul realizes that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And after that, Saul goes into the city. He does not eat or drink for 3 days, and he's waiting on God to tell him what to do next. And after that fast, God sends someone to him who gives him exactly what he needs to hear. And he was blind for 3 days. He was healed, and he's spoken to and receives his calling and purpose for his life. You see, fasting gets us and what we want and what we desire and what we're thinking and what we're planning and what we need and what we think we need and what we want. It gets all of me out of the way, so that we can tune in and hear clearly what God is saying. Fasting, something that I physically desire, helps me to surrender to God my internal will and desires. That physical action of not having something that I want, not eating sweets, not eating at all, not watching TV, not going on social media, when I make that decision physically to turn away from something that I'm desiring, not for something that's bad, but I'm turning away from that for a time, it enables me to spiritually do the same thing. Turn away from what I think I want and hear exactly what God is speaking to me and what he wants. And so it removes all of the confusion that comes from my own intellect and my own analysis and trying to figure out what's right. It removes all of that and helps me to have clarity from God. Number two, fasting removes obstacles. Fasting removes obstacles. In the Bible, we see Daniel's breakthrough fast. This is such a powerful story. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel receives a vision from God. Daniel 10 verses 1 says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events to happen in the future, times of great war and hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time, I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And so Daniel was in this fast. He was in mourning. He knew that his people needed an answer from God. And so he was fasting and he was praying and he was seeking God. But what happens later in that chapter is what's so important and so powerful for us to understand if we can grasp this. In verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10, the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel. And he says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." How long was Daniel fasting? 3 weeks, 21 days. But the prince, this is Gabriel speaking, but the prince of the Persian kingdom, we don't know exactly what this was, but we know this is a spirit, an evil spirit that worked on behalf of the enemy and his forces in the supernatural realm. "The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes on God's side, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So this is what I want you guys to catch here. The mess, when Daniel went before God and began to pray, day one, God sent Gabriel. On the day, he said, "On the first day, your words were heard, and I have come in response." But the messenger that was carrying the answer for Daniel was resisted by the forces of the enemy. The enemy sent that prince of the Persian kingdom to intercept the answer that Daniel needed. And because Daniel was faithful in prayer and faithful in persevering, and because he kept going after God for that answer that he knew that he needed, he knew that he needed to hear from God for his people. And because he was faithful in that, Gabriel was able to come and give him and explain the vision that he had received. What I want you guys to know is that just as God has a plan for your life, the enemy has a plan for your life. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And his plans for you are to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. The enemy wants to use you for his kingdom just as much as God, not just as much as God wants to use you more for his kingdom. But he's got plans for you. And if any of you think the enemy is so excited that you're going through encounter, he's not. The enemy is not looking forward to you experiencing the freedom and the victory that God has for you. He's not excited. He's not sitting back there going, "Oh, I'm just gonna watch Lorena. It's just gonna be so awesome seeing her. She's just like, God's just gonna show her exactly what she needs to hear and what she needs to get rid of so that she can continue moving forward in her life." No. He has plans against you. And Satan forms obstacles to God's plans for our lives, just like he did with Daniel. He sent someone to intercept the word of God for his people. And I can't explain it. I don't know why God decides to do it. But somehow, fasting and prayer enables those who fight on our behalf to overcome the enemy and to overcome his demons and to overcome in the spirit realm so that we can experience victory. So fasting removes obstacles. Number three, fasting strengthens the spirit and weakens the flesh. Here we have another fast that Daniel went on. This was in Daniel chapter 1. So Daniel is one of the captives in the land of Babylon when the people of Israel and Judah were taken away from their home. And Daniel's there with a few of his friends. And there's an official that is overseeing him, and they're supposed, all these men, all these young men are supposed to be eating and getting strong so that they can serve Babylon well. And they're eating a lot of foods that are unclean for the people, for God's people, for the people of Israel. And so Daniel and his friends are like, "We're not eating that." In Daniel 1, verse 10, the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should I see you looking worse than other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you." And so Daniel makes a deal with him. Daniel and his friends say, "Hey, let us eat vegetables and water for 10 days. You let everyone else eat whatever is on the menu. And if we are stronger than them, then let us keep eating this way. And if we're not, or if they're stronger than us, you know, we'll submit and we'll eat whatever it is you want us to eat. So the 10 days go by, and what happens? Daniel and his friends are stronger just from eating those vegetables and water than everyone else. And like everyone in Babylon is probably like, how is this even possible? And God strengthened his people, and he watched out for his followers because they were faithful to what they, to the law and to what they knew was right. So what we need to understand is that just as diet and exercise can bring strength and health to our body, fasting and prayer bring strength and health to our spirit. What is so powerful, what is so good about diet and exercise? It's healthy. When we eat right, when we have a good, healthy diet, and when we exercise, we deny our body something that it wants, because we know that there's something better. We know that it's better, even though it's not always fun. We know that it is better to have a lifestyle of exercise. We're going to have more energy if we exercise well, if we eat right. And in the same way, when we deny something that we want in the physical body, it enables our spirit to be strengthened, and it weakens the power of our flesh, of our sinful nature. And some of you in this room, maybe right now, maybe at points in your life, maybe you know someone who has implemented a really strict exercise routine or a really good diet, and you've seen the benefits that can come from that. You see that person who lost that weight, or you went through that exercise routine, and even though it was hard, when you started doing it, you saw the benefits in your life, and you feel better, and you feel great. And let me tell you guys that the power of the encounters that God has for you through fasting and prayer are more impactful than shedding those 20 pounds, and they'll make you stronger than lifting any amount of weight could ever make you. So it's so important for us to understand that when we fast, we're strengthening our spirit and weakening our flesh. We deny something that we want because we know that there's something better. Number four, fasting softens the soil of our hearts. In Isaiah 58, we see a fast for freedom. In Isaiah 58, verse 3, the Lord is speaking, and he says, his people have said, "We fasted before you," they say. "Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it." "I'll tell you why," I respond. "It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me." Verse 6 says, "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give your clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind." God saw his people fasting, going through the motions, doing all these things. And they said, "Why aren't you recognizing us? Why isn't this doing anything? Why isn't it effective?" And the Lord showed them the right kind of fasting, the fasting with the right heart. When we fast, it softens the soil of our hearts, just like Pastor Talia was talking about as we prayed right at the beginning. Have any of you ever tried to pull a weed out of the ground in the heat of summer here in Texas? What happens? You fall. You fall down. It's very difficult. You're probably just going to break off the green part that's on the surface, right? And so what's going to happen in a few days? It's going to pop right back up. Why? Because you have to get it all the way. You have to get the whole root out, or that weed is still going to be there. It's hard to pull up roots and get the roots when the soil is hard and when it's dry. But just as rain softens the ground, and after a few good days of rain, you can go out into your garden or into your yard and pull a weed, and that whole root just comes right out. And guys, in our spiritual lives, there are things that pop up, and we may be like, what is that? What is that in my life? Where does that come from? Why do I always act like that when I get in that kind of situation? Why does that attitude always come out of me? Why do I always act like that around that person? Gosh, I know I shouldn't have said that. Gosh, I knew I shouldn't have acted that way, but it just keeps springing up. And we can try to pull out that top little green part that we see, and we can, I'm going to stop saying that, or I'm going to get that out of here. But it's going to keep springing up, and we're going to keep seeing those things happen. Or maybe sometimes we don't even recognize that they're there. They've been there for so long. It just looks normal. But there are roots to those things, those weeds in our spirit. Roots that we may not even be able to see. We may have forgotten that they're there. We don't even know what they are, really. And guys, they rob us from our potential. They hold us back from being exactly who God wants us to be. And yeah, when it's hot and when the ground is dry, it's painful and it stinks to try to get those weeds out. But when the rain comes, it's so easy. And when we fast and when we pray, our hearts become so soft, like that soft, moist soil. And God can come right in, and he can identify that thing. And when he pulls it out, it's not as painful. And when we see that root, when we identify what it is, he throws it away. And that particular weed isn't coming back because the whole root has been removed. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to free you from things that are happening in your life, things that are operating in your life, and you may not even know the source of them. God wants to show you what those are through this process. These next couple of weeks in this encounter process leading up to the retreat are part of that weed pulling process. God's going to start showing up and pointing out some things. And when you fast and when you pray, when you learn to implement that in your lives, it's going to prepare you for him to pull up those weeds and remove them completely so that you can fulfill your potential, so that they can't rob from your potential anymore. Number 5, fasting brings results. Fasting brings results. If you ask any leader in this room, not just because they went through this encounter process, but who has implemented fasting in their lives in any way, they're going to be able to tell you of the results. We don't have time, but we could probably go through person after person, and we could tell you of all these fasts that we've done and the times that we've seen God come through because we chose to fast, because we chose to say no to this or that. I'm not going to eat that food. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm not going to go on that social media. I'm going to set it aside for a time because I know there's something better. And when we do it with the right heart, and when we allow God to do what only he can do, we see results in our lives. And guys, there are times, I can tell you right now, there are times when I've done fasting right and when I've done fasting wrong. And every leader in this room can tell you the same. I fasted with the wrong heart. I fasted without praying and just starved myself for a couple of weeks. And when I fasted that way, guess what I did not see? Results. But when I fast with the right heart, when I take the time to seek God for the right focus for my fast, when I take the time to truly set aside those things and partner that prayer with fasting, I see God do things that I know I couldn't make happen. I know I could not have done it. I know I could not have gotten to the answer. I know that it would have taken me much longer to figure it out if I ever could have. It brings results. Sometimes they're immediate. The fast ends and bam, there it is. Or maybe even before, while the fast is still in process, the results and the answers begin to come. Sometimes it takes time. There's a time in my life that I fasted multiple times over the same situation, and each time I fasted, it was like God gave me a different perspective. God showed me something that I needed to understand about the other people involved in the situation. God showed me a part of myself that a root that needed to be pulled out. But each time I fasted, I got closer and closer to experiencing the ultimate result that God had for me. And guys, this is the stage of encounter. This is the time to begin implementing fasting in your life. It's the time to get it right, to submit to Him, to allow yourself to be denied, to allow your flesh to be a little, have a little pain, so that you can experience results. Because we know that there's something better. Amen? Does anybody in this room believe that God has something better for you than the road that you're on right now, than the struggles that you're experiencing right now? Fasting is that key. It helps us to get there. It helps us to get there faster than we can just going through it as normal. Fasting just separates us from the world, just like we talked about. Prayer is connecting us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. And when we implement those things in our lives, we will see results. Guys, at this point in encounter, and I've been through it, and so I know I've been there. Implementing fasting from here on out in this process. And in the second part of tonight's teaching, you guys are going to learn how to get ready, how to do a fast, how to prepare for a fast well so that you can experience the results that God has for you. But I want you to know that the success of this overall encounter and your individual success will be determined by your response to God through prayer and fasting. So let me tell you that your table host or your spouse or a close friend or family member cannot be the sole source of your victory, of your transformation. There's power in partnership. This team has been fasting and praying over you guys, but there's something powerful that happens when we step into that place of ownership. When we step onto that battlefield in the supernatural, and when we begin to fast, and when we begin to set everything else aside so that we can focus in and hear what God wants to say to us. There's something powerful in taking on that ownership and not relying on the fasting and prayer of others, but partnering with those leaders, partnering with your table hosts, partnering with people in your life to fast and pray together, so that you can see the breakthrough that you've been wanting, that you've been desiring, that you know you've been needing, maybe for years. And so as we continue with the rest of this evening, as we learn how to fast, I just want to encourage you to take on the challenge. Anybody willing to take on a challenge to see something better in your life? Amen. I believe that you will. I'm excited for you guys. We'll be praying for you as you go through this process. We know that God has great things for you in encounter, and it's just getting started. So handing off to Bubba Theories. Thank you, guys.
How about that? Or how about that? I tell you what, she's a great young lady, a good Christian young lady. She's very smart. And she also makes the poncho from High Plains Drifter that Clint Eastwood wear very stylish. When she would stick her arms out like that, I said, man, that's like Clint Eastwood on High Plains Drifter. I dig that. That's cool. Everybody good? As Talia said, there's a strategic reason as to why this is placed here. I just want to ask you a real quick question before we take a real quick break. Since you started Encounter, and this is our fourth week, how many of you have experienced abnormal amounts of Satan's attacks in your life? Abnormal amounts of your husband acting crazy, your wife acting crazy. Right here. We're going to have a special prayer for Justin real quick. I know where he's... No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Because if the devil's not messing with you, then he's not worried about you. And if the devil is on your tail and he's on your case and he's after you in every aspect of your life, then he knows something good's coming. Encounter's here to equip you with what you need to do to defend against that. And not be on the offensive, but go on, not on the defensive, but be going on the offensive. Preemptive strikes instead of taking as it comes. As we learn with alignment, the wise man foresees the trouble and he makes the plans. He knows it's going to come and he's going to be ready for it with whatever it is, prayer or in this case fasting. And the simpleton, or in some cases the translation says idiot, moves on and is destroyed. I'm proud and excited for each and every one of you. You're getting some stuff here that you're going to put into application. You will see a change in your life. Let's take about 5 minutes if we can. We're running a little behind schedule. We want to be mindful of your time. And see you back here in just a few minutes.
You should be in radio, huh? He's got that awesome voice. We get asked that all the time. Are you in radio? You should be. So I'm going to continue talking about fasting. And I apologize. Fasting is never a topic that anybody's like, woohoo! I want to hear about some fasting. Let's talk about fasting. It's not fun. It's not exciting. But I tell you what, fasting is powerful. It will absolutely transform your spiritual walk if you'll apply these principles to your life. So prior to us going through this teaching as Encounter leaders, I had fasted several times in my spiritual walk. Got saved when I was 31 years old, and man, I was trying to walk out the things that the Lord had told us, and the Lord talks about fasting. How many of you guys have ever fasted before? I just want to see who's fasted. Okay, so a lot of people have fasted. I'll be honest with you. Until I went through this teaching that we're sharing with you guys, I'd really never seen results from fasting. And so when we were going through this, and of course, Bubba and I are the coaches, you know, we're the leaders over Encounter, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go through fast. We got to teach on fasting, seriously. I was just never a fan of fasting because I honestly just had not seen results. And so when we went through this teaching and then went through the appendix, which is what I'm going to teach out of, it gives you practical examples to apply to your life. And can I tell you, when I applied these principles to my life, I saw results. Never again was fasting boring, dull, and a lack of results. I got results. I went deeper with God than I ever had. And I had fasted several times in my spiritual walk, but this was the first time I had ever seen results. So I know you may think fasting is not exciting, but I'm telling you, it is exciting when you apply it in the proper manner. With anything else, if you apply it in the proper manner, I promise you, you're going to see results. So I want you to turn to your appendix in the back. It should be page 43 in your workbook. And now I'm going to give you the practical application to how do I get the results. Courtney gave the what is fasting, how does it benefit me, why is it important, and I'm going to tell you how to apply it to your life so that you can really get the results. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, God. I thank you so much that you love us enough to speak directly into our life. God, you don't give us a bunch of examples or ideas and we don't know how to apply them, but God, you love us that much that you give us your truth, but then you can also show us how to apply it to our life so that it can be effective. God, speak to our hearts. Lord, we're open to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there's a guy by the name of Bill Bright that had written a book, and he came up with some of these tips that we're going to share. It's the 7 basic steps to effective fasting and prayer. One of the key points that I never applied to my fast was prayer. And it's like, how stupid is that? Well, I know. That's just the way I did it. I fasted and I disciplined myself a lot and I didn't eat certain things, but I never applied prayer in the times that I was fasting, whatever I was fasting for. So yeah, I'm goofy, but hey, that's just how I did it. I disciplined myself, but I didn't apply the other important factor, which is prayer. And so to effectively fast and pray, the first thing you've got to do is, number one, you've got to set your objective. Set your objective. But even before you set your objective, let me say that how you begin and conduct your fast is going to hugely impact the results of your fast. So how I started is going to impact it significantly. But number one, you've got to set your objective. That is, why am I fasting? Not just because Encounter taught on it, so I've got to do it this week. But what is my objective? See, I've fasted for several different things. Sometimes I find myself needing to fast because I need to go deeper with God spiritually. There's so many times where I have gotten dry in my spiritual walk. I'm going to church every time the doors are open. I'm serving every week. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. But have you ever just been spiritually dry? That's where I get sometimes. And so then I know it's time to fast. And so what's your objective? Are you spiritually dry? Are you needing something specifically from the Lord? Are you needing direction, specific direction? Are you making decisions on a job or something like that? Or are you fasting for someone else? You know, sometimes there's been a prompting to fast for one of my children for whatever reason. God doesn't always tell me why, but he'll prompt me, hey, Sonia, it's time. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, you got it, big guy. But listen, it's powerful. Sometimes there's such a spiritual work going on, I don't really understand why God asked me to do some of the things. But when I'm in tune with him, when I'm in alignment with him, when I'm walking in the Spirit, I can hear him clearer. And so I'll apply what it is he's asking me to do. Most of the time, I'm not perfect. So number one, you've got to set your objective. Number two, you've got to make a commitment. You have got to be committed to the fast. Matthew 6, Courtney already hit on it. Jesus talks about when you fast. He never says if you're going to fast. So that means he is instructing me to fast, not if I feel like it, not if it sounds good or if I want to look spiritual, but he says when you fast, let me show you how we want to do it. So we've got to make that commitment. For one, you got to understand it. But then also Matthew 17 is a really awesome story. It talks about a dad who comes to Jesus. He has a son that's demon-possessed. And he says, Jesus, I need you to help my son. The disciples couldn't do anything for him. They prayed and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't cast anything out of him. And so Jesus said, some things you will only overcome by prayer and fasting. Amen? The disciples were walking with Jesus. They were pretty spiritual. I would say they're probably a lot more spiritual than I am, right? But they were praying, trying to cast that demon out. They were trying to move this demon out of this boy that was wrecking his life, and things weren't happening. And Jesus said, some things you've got to pray and fast about, or otherwise you're not going to see the results that you need. So I feel like that applies to our life as well. There are some things that I've prayed a whole lot about, and maybe I haven't seen the results, and then God will stir in my spirit, hey, sister, have you fasted? Because fasting is going to separate me. It's going to separate my mindset from the things of the world. So sometimes when you haven't seen those results, you need to pray and say, Lord, do I need to fast in addition to praying? You may see the results that you're needing. So with your commitment, before you start your fast, you need to make a list of some things. One thing you want to ask yourself is, how long do I feel like the Lord is wanting me to fast? Is it just a meal? Is it just a day? Is it a week? Is it a month? How long is the Lord wanting you to fast? And I will say this, if you've never fasted, you need to start slowly. Somebody was telling me that they felt their child was talking to them and said, hey, Mom, I feel like the Lord is calling me to fast, and I'm going to fast for a month. I'm like, whoa, you better hear from the Lord. But if you've never fasted, I'll say start out slow. It's not an easy feat to do, but start out slow. Be very prayerful and see what the Lord is asking you to do. A week is a great time to fast, but then we're going to talk about what you want to fast. But I say start out slowly and then build up to a longer fast. But the other thing you want to figure out is, what type of fast is God calling you to? Courtney talked about the different types of fast. Sometimes I feel like the Lord is calling me to do a Daniel fast. So I'm not eating any meat. I'm not eating sweets. I'm only drinking water. So it's a lot of fruits and vegetables. I'll clean your system out, brother. But so what kind of fast is the Lord calling you to? Quite often, I feel like the Lord prompting me to fast social media in addition to my fast. Can I tell you, that has been so fulfilling to me to fast social media, because it's usually a bunch of junk anyways. It's not real. I mean, everybody puts on their little pretty face on social media. We all do it. I do it too, because I show the cute side of my kids, and I don't show them when they're being crazy. But and they're like, you the same, Mom. My daughter's in here. But what exactly is he calling you to fast? What type of fast? That's something you want to spend time with the Lord. And then also, what physical or social activities do you need to pull back from? So when I was young in my walk with the Lord, like I said, I was an adult. I was in my 30s when I came to know the Lord. And at the church that we were going to that time, occasionally they would call a corporate fast. And so they asked the whole church body to fast. Well, I was single at that time, my little precious honey pie over there, and those cute little Wranglers of his. We weren't married at the time. We weren't even dating or anything. So I was single. And this lady, she was a friend of mine, she was single too. And so I was kind of new to this fasting thing. And so I was just curious what she was going to fast. And so I asked her, so, you know, have you spent time with the Lord? What are you going to fast? Somebody's heard me tell the story. They're already laughing. So I asked her, what are you going to fast? Now, mind you, we're both singles. And she said, yeah, I've really spent a lot of time in prayer about this. And I've decided that I'm going to fast sex, drugs, and cigarettes. I'm like, is that right? So she was kidding, of course. We were single, so weren't supposed to be getting jiggy with it anyways. But so that is something we're instructed to do. It's not a fast. That's called obedience. But you need to spend time with the Lord and find out what physical or social activities do you need to pull back from. And then, yeah, sex, drugs, and cigarettes. All right, sorry, not trying to get spiritual here. So in regards to making that commitment, you have to make that commitment ahead of time. I recommend writing it down. You know, what's my objective? How long? What is the Lord calling me to fast? When I have it written out, when I know ahead of time, this is what I am going to do, this is what the Lord is calling me to do, it's much easier to push through and stay strong, and you won't get distracted as much. If I just think in my mind, and I've done it because I've done it wrong a whole lot in my earlier walk with the Lord, but there were so many times I didn't have it written out. I didn't have the details of it. And so someone brings, you know, donuts to the office, and I'm like, you know, so it's easier when you have it planned out to stick to that commitment. The commitment is well worth. That little sacrifice that we make is well worth it, but you need to plan this out ahead of time and write it down. You will endure the temptations a lot easier. So number three, we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. Prepare yourself spiritually for a fast. You will not be successful with a fast if you do not prepare yourself spiritually. Like I said, I've done it the other way. I promise you it doesn't work. The very foundation of fasting and prayer is repentance. We've got to turn away from the things that we're doing that are not pleasing to the Lord, which means I need to spend time in the Word so I know what's pleasing and what's not pleasing to the Lord. But if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, it could hinder the results of that. So we've got to prepare ourselves spiritually. Submit any unconfessed sin. When you spend time with prayer, in prayer, and the Lord is prompting you to fast, you need to ask the Lord, is there anything that I need to submit to you, God? Is there anything that I've done that's not pleasing to you? And if the Lord brings it to your mind, just surrender it to Him. He's so faithful to forgive. But in preparing ourselves spiritually, there are several things that we need to do to prepare our heart. One of the things that we need to do is you have got to remember that we serve a God that is so passionately crazy in love with you. And it's so surprising to me that so many people forget that. Listen to me. God is so crazy in love with you. The Bible says, I love you with an everlasting love. His love is not the same as earthly love. His love is unconditional, which means I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you did yesterday, 2 years ago. I am still so passionately crazy in love with you. If I don't understand this love relationship that God has for me, if I equate the love relationship with me and God that I have with me and my earthly father, it's going to construe who God is. God is not like man. His love is everlasting, and it's not based on what I can do or what I cannot do. So you need to understand, get that into your heart, that God is crazy in love with you. And then to prepare our heart, we also need to accept God's forgiveness. Accept God's forgiveness. I have found that it's often easier for me to forgive somebody that has done me wrong than it is for me to forgive myself when I do things that are not right. And so that's another thing we need to do to prepare our heart, is to forgive ourselves. We have all made mistakes. I'll tell you, one of the things that I've learned so much from my husband, who's one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life. He puts up with me. But, you know, he's got jokes. But one of the things that was, I've learned so much from him, because we had vastly different upbringings. He was raised in the church. He was born on a pew. I was more like in the bars and stuff like that. And so we have a very different background. But one of the things that was so hurtful for me to watch him is he beat himself up over his past sins. And I think it's just because they were kind of held over his head. People would continue to remind him of the mistakes that he's made. He made some bad mistakes, but you know what? Who hasn't? Who hasn't? There's only one that didn't, and none of us are Jesus. But it would break my heart to see my husband not being able to forgive himself for the people that he had hurt in his life. And I'll tell you, Encounter just broke those strongholds off of him. So I ask that you please, as you forgive others, also forgive yourself, because the Lord has forgiven you for those mistakes. If you have submitted it to him, what is he saying? It says your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He's not holding them over your head. He's crazy in love with you. So I ask that you forgive yourself as well. And then you also want to surrender your life fully to Jesus. Completely surrender your life. Refuse to obey your worldly nature. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I plead with you, I beg you to offer yourself as a living and holy sacrifice, pleasing to God. And don't be conformed to the behaviors of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind. How do I renew my mind? Spend time with Jesus. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in worship. That's how I renew my mind. That's the only way that I can do that. And then we also, as we prepare our heart, we want to meditate on the attributes of God. Meditate means not this home kind of, that's why I thought of meditate. No, meditate is think deeply on, we're not kooky, some of us are, but anyways, meditate means think deeply, ponder on the characteristics of God. What are some of the characteristics of God? Compassion, forgiving, mercy, long-suffering, kindness. I mean, there's so many. To prepare ourselves spiritually, I need to meditate and think on the attributes of God, because that's going to prepare my heart to hear from Him clearly. Think on the things of God. If you can't spit those things out, get in the Word. It's right there for us. It's awesome. You can look it up. But meditate on those attributes of God, because like I said previously, I can't associate my Father in heaven with my earthly father, because it gives me the wrong picture. So I need to learn, who is God really? What's He about? Meditate on those things. And also the last thing, as we prepare our heart and prepare ourselves spiritually, is do not underestimate spiritual opposition. Courtney talked about that a little bit. Satan often intensifies the natural battle between body and spirit as we go into a fast. As we go in deeper with God, You guys have already seen half the room raise their hand. I'm getting my butt kicked spiritually. Can I tell you, fasting is going to be a battle. There is no great move of God that goes unchallenged from the enemy. Amen. So if you are getting challenged, if you are having obstacles come up, just know there's a great move of God coming. So that's kind of exciting. So many times I would get so defeated and frustrated and just like, what's going on? This was easier when I was out in the world and not serving God. I feel like I'm, you know, getting kicked below the belt more often than not. Praise God. That means victory is right around the corner. That means I am pushing forward with God, because the enemy would not be fighting me so hard if breakthrough wasn't right around the corner. Amen. Don't get frustrated with the difficulties that are coming up, the challenges. No. What did we say the other day? God is fighting for us. This is not my battle. God, I thank you that you said give it to you because it's yours. So I lay it down to the altar and give it to God. Galatians 5, 16, 17, we talked about it last week. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. That is the only way I don't fall back into the natural Sonia, thinking the old ways I used to, operating, responding the old ways I used to, is if I continue to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way it can be done. Step 4, we must prepare ourselves physically for a fast. Prepare yourself physically. So that means if you're going to do a Daniel fast, then you need to buy more fruits and vegetables. If you are not going to drink coffee, let me just tell you, do I have any coffee drinkers in the room? You better pray hard. I will say, slowly start cutting back coffee. If you've ever had a caffeine headache, it is horrible. So if you're going to fast coffee, which I think is great because coffee's like my crack. So it's good because it separates my flesh so that I can hear clearly from the Lord. But I will say, prepare yourself physically. Do it slowly. Don't just stop all in one day. You'll remember these words, I can assure you. And again, like Courtney said, if you have health problems, if you're a diabetic, if you have any other health problems, you need to pray about it, but you need to also talk to your doctor. So if I'm a diabetic, you know, I'm probably not going to do a total fast unless God, really speaks to me clearly about doing it. So if you have health problems, please be wise. Spend time with the Lord and talk with your doctor about it. Step 5, put yourself on a schedule. This is really important. This is what I missed when I used to fast previously. I wasn't plugging in a schedule of when I was going to spend extra time in prayer and worship. This is the critical, critical key right here. You have to plug in extra time. Write it down. When am I going to spend extra time with God? And I will say, when you do, don't rush. Get up earlier. And don't rush. Really spend time. I say start out with worship first. Worship prepares your heart to really hear from the Lord. Turn your phone off and just really hear from the Lord. But set times of when. Am I going to get up earlier in the morning? Am I going to do it at lunch? Or am I going to do it in the evening? Set a schedule of when you're going to spend time with the Lord and commit to that. Stick with that. You have to do that to really hear from the Lord. But passionately seek God's face during that time. Huge difference. I've spent time in prayer, good prayer, and then I've spent time passionately seeking the face of God and desperately needing to hear Him. And can I tell you, He's so faithful. But sometimes I have to remind myself, Sonia, shut up. Stop talking. So many times when I'm praying, I feel like it's a one-way conversation. I'm just, God, and I need this, and I thank you for this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And I feel like God is saying, if you'd be quiet, I would talk to you. Stop talking. So sometimes we have to remind ourselves, let me just be quiet, calm my mind, and let me hear from Him. Step 6, you want to end your fast gradually. End your fast gradually. If you don't, you will have some gastrointestinal problems, I can assure you. It is not fun, but end it gradually. Do smaller meals, and I encourage you, don't do greasy meals, or otherwise you'll remember this statement is too. So end your fast gradually. And number 7, step 7, expect results. Expect results. Before you even start your fast, you need to go into it with an expectant heart. Pastor Jeremy came in here a couple of weeks ago, and he made such a profound statement. He said, if you come into this expecting nothing, that is exactly what you're going to get. But if you come into this expecting crazy, passionate results, you're going to get those passionate, crazy results. Fasting is the same thing. God is faithful, and His word is true. If you go into a fast applying these principles to it, and you come with an expectant heart, God is faithful, and He is going to provide those results that you're needing. It may not be in the way that you think you're going to get them, though. I will say that. Sometimes I really think I'm smarter than God. I told you about the beach house thing. So obviously, I think sometimes I know better than God. But can I tell you, I don't, and you don't. His ways really are better than our ways. They're higher than our ways. So I ask you, don't come into a fast with preconceived notions of exactly how He's going to respond, just that He is going to respond, because God is so faithful. So as I was praying and preparing for this, I felt like the Lord reminded me of a story that I kind of shared with Whitney this weekend. And it was about a time where I had recently gotten divorced years ago, and I had moved into a new apartment complex. I was living in Houston. Moved into a new apartment complex. I had three little kids. My oldest daughter was in kindergarten at the time. And I was working a full-time job at that particular day. I had to go to downtown Houston for a seminar. Later in the day, I got a phone call from the daycare, because when she got out of school, they were supposed to drop her off at the daycare. Now, mind you, I just moved into a brand new apartment complex. I knew nobody. I had no family down there. I knew nobody. Got a phone call from the daycare that said, the school bus just dropped off the kids at daycare, and your daughter was not on the bus. This was a five-year-old, beautiful, little curly-headed girl that knew nobody. She said, I think the school dropped her off at your apartment. I am absolutely frantic, frantic. I got in my car, and I was racing toward that apartment as quickly as I could. It was 45 minutes away. I am telling you, I was desperately trying to get to my daughter. The thought that the Lord brought to me is, how desperate are you for the things of God? I was frantically trying to get to my daughter. I was breaking every speed limit. I was doing anything I could to get to my daughter. And that's what I felt the Lord was saying to you tonight. How desperate are you to hear from God? For transformation, for breakthrough. How desperate are you? Because God said, I'm the result deliverer. I can bring the results. I ask you to close your eyes. Fasting separates us from the world, and we have got to intentionally unplug from the things of the world in order to hear from God. Prayer draws us closer to God. So I want you to spend a few minutes, and I just want you to hear from the Lord. Could the Lord be calling you to a fast? Because it's time to separate from the world. It's time to unplug from the world. I want you to just hear from the Lord for a few minutes, and just see, what is God speaking to your heart? Are you desperate enough to do whatever it takes to dig deeper with Him, to break that ceiling that you keep bumping into?
The more I seek you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you finish up, I've been standing over here, and I'm, you know, we always try to close and put the night to an end, and you always have an idea of how you're going to do it, but usually the Lord has a little bit better plan. While sitting over there and standing over there and just praying, there's two spirits in here. There's a spirit of fear, and there's a spirit of pride that is in here right now. The spirit of fear is coming from those people that have never done this. The devil's sitting here telling you right now, you're good. This is really for more advanced spiritually minded people. You don't know what to fast, how to fast it. I know they gave you the instructions, but it's cool. It's okay. You'll be all right. The other is the spirit of pride for those that have done this before and feel as if I'm good and they're talking to them, not me. Both of them are lies of Satan. We understand that, right? There's not a person in here that's not supposed to be here. There's not. There's not a person in here that's not supposed to hear what fasting is about. There's a story in the Bible about Elijah and Elisha. And I'm going to tell you this just real quick. Elijah asked Elisha, "What do you want of me?" And he wanted more. He wanted a bigger portion. Elijah said, "You know, that's a hard thing. But if you are with me when I leave, you will be granted." They went to four different places in their travels before Elijah left this earth. Now, Elisha knew I had to stay close. And in that comment that he made, the key that was this: if you see me when I leave, you will be granted. So Elisha knew that he had to stay close. He couldn't be allowing his mind to drift somewhere else. He had to stay close. So the first place they went was to Gilgal. Gilgal is a place where circumcision was performed, the cutting of flesh, the carnal. Remember what we talked about when we were discussing this in alignment. We feed either the spirit or the flesh. So at Gilgal, they cut that flesh. It's hard to push that flesh down, but this will be hard. But if you stay close, you can do it. The second place that they went was to Bethel, where Jacob had a vision. He had a vision of what the Lord had for him to do. Fasting is going to give you that vision. There's people in here right now that you need that vision. Without a vision that is not birthed by the Lord, you're going to aimlessly wander around in your finances, in your marriage, in raising your children, and serving the Lord. Fasting is going to give you that vision. It's going to give you that opportunity to see what God has for you. The third place they went was Jericho. Joshua was in a bind. He didn't know really what to do. And he just said, "Lord, I'm your servant. Just tell me." You got to stay close. And you got to be his servant. You got to be a servant. And what you want from me, God, is what I want for me. And the last place they went was to the Jordan. And the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, which is a representation of what? Death. Now here's the hard one. Every day when you're fasting, you have to attend your burial every day. And in some instances, every hour. For those of you that are like me, that's a little more hard-headed, a little more control. I can do it better. I think this is the way we should go, Lord. And it's not. I have every confidence that each and every person in this room that maybe have fasted forever and never have is going to do it this week. I'm not going to recommend. I'm not going to suggest. I'm going to challenge you to take the tool that you've been given today and start using it this week if you have not. Now, don't get caught up in what you're fasting. Don't get caught up in that. Don't think that the size of your sacrifice is going to equal some sort of equal result. God's word says obedience is greater than sacrifice. Isn't that right, Kim? Because you were saying it when I was saying it. So I think she knows it. Knows it? She knows it. Redneck. Sacrifice is not greater than obedience. Obedience is greater than the sacrifice. Don't let the devil say, whatever you're trying to sacrifice is not worth it, and you're not going to get anything out of it. You just be obedient. If you sacrifice, and if you fast one day, that's fine. But do all of those principles that it says on the sheet. You're going to have to cut self. You're going to have to ask for that vision. You're going to have to die to self daily. And here I am, Lord, I'm your servant. I can assure you that you will get results. And I feel certain that there will be people that come up to us next week and say, you know, I never did that fasting thing before, but let me tell you what happened. Oh, and don't think for a second that the devil's just going to sit back and say, hey, Trent, we've had a good old time, but you know, hey, good luck on that fasting. I hope it works out for you. I'm going to be praying for you because he's not. He's going to turn, unleash hell on you. I'm just telling you. But you know, that's the thing about it. The Lord's got you in here because he knows you can handle it. And you know how you can handle it? Because greater is he that is in me than he is in the Lord. He's going to reinforce in you that you have the ability to control and limit the movement of Satan in your life. Some of you already got it and already applying it to your life. And some of you are still, I'm not real sure about this, but this fasting is going to put you right over the top. You're going to need some fasting for the things that are yet to come in this study. When we start talking about strongholds and habits and generational hand-me-downs, I can assure you, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're going to need every possible weapon, tool, access, anything that you can possibly get that the Lord has to offer you. The armor of God, you're going to need it. That's not to scare you. That's to give you victory. That's to let you know that the Lord loves you so much and the blood that he shed on that cross, you already got the victory. Quit listening to what the devil's telling you and move forward. You know what I'm saying? And move forward. And this fasting is going to help you. Like Danielle, whatever's aching her heart and causing her to have this little bitty ache in her heart, she's going to fast this week and she's going to get an answer. She's going to get clarity. She's going to get understanding. She's going to get some peace about it. She's not going to worry about it. Is there anything she did in herself? No, she died to it. And she said, here it is, Lord. And she's going to get an answer for whatever she's fasting for this week, I can assure you. So this week, I challenge. And you guys over here, the guys at lunch, when they ask you why you're not eating, the Lord's going to give you a test, and you're going to pass it. And you know what he's going to tell you? This is my son who I am well pleased. Me and you are going to do it. Because see, you live in a world where you're not supposed to do that. That shows weakness. What are you doing? What are you talking about? I hear it from firemen. I hear it from policemen. I hear it from oil workers. I hear it from ordinary guys. But your men are above that, and you're going to succeed. You're going to succeed, Sean. You're going to do this. And people are going to wonder why the difference is in you, and you're going to be able to tell them. Because it's nothing you're doing. It's just what the Lord has asked you to do, and he's going to bless you tremendously because of your, not sacrifice, but your obedience. You're going to do it. I am so proud of each and every individual that is in here. God has great things, but don't listen to that fear, and don't listen to the pride. We're going to pray against that. That stays here. It doesn't go with you back to the house. Everybody understand? The fear, the pride stays here. You're going to get insight and revelation. And I am looking forward to hearing some testimonies on your one-day fast, your three-day fast, your week fast, whatever you want to do. I thank God for each and every one of you. Who's ready to do this? I am telling you, God has something great for you. And this is just another tool to help you get there. Thank you for coming. But don't you stop. Galatians 6:9, while doing good works, don't quit, don't give up. For in due season you shall prevail, lest you faint not. And we're not going to have anybody quitting. There's not going to be anybody sit down. There's not going to be anybody fail. They're all going to make this. Derek, he helps with the youth. Let me tell you, if you help with the youth, dude, you need vision. You. So y'all be praying for Derek that his fast is successful this week. He's one of our key leaders in the youth department. They need that. Another tool, another armor. Everybody good? Everybody ready for this fast this week? You are going to be successful. I guarantee you. You will. The flesh is going to hurt and tell you to quit, but the Spirit will say, just keep pushing and stay close to me, and you will be successful. Let's pray, and we're going to get out of here for the night. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to pray that God blesses each and every one of you. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity for us to grow as a body of Christ individually with gifts, talents, and abilities that are different from anybody else. And that is a purposeful thing because that is what you need from us. I pray for these men, Lord, as they go into the workforce and they're in situations where they're fasting and people ask them questions and they make fun of them and call them this and call them that, you will show them immediately that you are proud of your good and faithful servant, your son that you are well pleased with. These women that are praying for their husbands on the other side of the room, they will continue to seek your face. They will continue to pray and fast and trust you for change in their life, the change in their husband's life, and the change in the world around them. Lord, as the devil comes against them, the arrows, all of the attacks are going to fall short. Going to fall short, and these people will be successful. And I pray protection over them physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, vocationally, every aspect of their life. The devil adds sexually, big, important. Every aspect that the devil cannot get in there and use anything against them during this time. I thank you for our leaders. I thank you for the direction in the church that this is going. Be with us as we travel home. And keep us safe in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.